Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I'm going to be talking about a different kind of topic, something that I call COVID codependence and the impact that I've seen of the pandemic and the isolation that, you know, many couples had to do, the impact of that on their marriages. And before that, I'll tell you to subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode was on high libido versus sex positive, which some people conflate, you know, and it's not, they are not the same. All right. So moving on, what I saw in the pandemic was that, all right, like people talked about huge spikes in divorce afterwards. I didn't really see huge spikes in divorce afterwards. And I do not actually think that the data bear out that there were huge spikes in divorce afterwards. Instead, almost on the other side, I found that a lot of highly sensitive women in particular, and some highly sensitive men and preoccupied, now those two things can overlap or not, they're orthogonal constructs, preoccupied attachment partners really live their best fucking life during the pandemic. Why, you may say? I mean, with the exception of the children being at home, which was, you know, pretty tough and stressful for many, unless they had already been homeschooling, it was because, you know, you have to balance your work and they're there like all the time. You don't get a break from them, et cetera. And they don't see any friends. So you have to act like the friends and, you know, a million reasons. I certainly don't have to go into why it was difficult to parent in the pandemic. But for many couples, it got rid of a lot of extraneous external variables, such as extended family, such as friends, such as hobbies, such as work outside the home. So many people got into this preoccupied attachment cocoon where they got pretty enmeshed with each other. And sometimes the avoidant partner like hated it, but they still had to do it. So besides like outdoor socializing, which, you know, is only possible sometimes in warmer weather, a lot of people didn't really see friends, didn't really see extended family. If they did see, like, for example, let's say that there's a woman, she doesn't like her in-laws, right? So this was a very common situation. During the pandemic, the in-laws couldn't really see the kids. So on the one hand, yeah, that's sad for them. On the other hand, it makes a hell of a lot easier for you because you didn't get along with them anyway. And so then when the pandemic ended and people were restarting their previous routines with the guy going to work or the woman going to work, or I mean, most of what I saw truly is like the guy got to stay home but then had to go back to work, and that upset the woman because, as I've said over and over, there's more preoccupied attachment women and more avoidant men, although it may be equal of who listens to this podcast, because preoccupied attachment people of both genders listen to relationship stuff, as I've discussed. So basically, he wasn't seeing his parents, he wasn't seeing his friends, he wasn't going to work. He wasn't even working out except for like a run or something like that, because he wasn't going to the gym very much. He couldn't do CrossFit. He couldn't do whatever he does. He couldn't get together for, you know, golf trips or fishing trips or whatever. And then after the pandemic, all that stuff started back up. So for her, she had him around all the time. And that was very, very reassuring. And then everybody else came back in. And since she had not been in the zone to deal with it for a while, she's even worse about dealing with it now. Now, some preoccupied attachment men were the same, with the woman having like girls' nights out or socializing or potentially going to her place of business or seeing her parents or whatever the case may be. You know, he got used to it being just the two of them, and then it turned into, you know, back to how it was originally. So this codependence during, oh, and then there's another aspect to it, which is in line with what I said in my podcast, young working men are condescended to like stay-at-home moms used to be, where because the guy was working from home, even if she was a stay-at-home mom, he started to do like everything all day and in between calls and like all of this stuff. It used to be that he would go to work and she would basically take care of the home. And then when he came home, then they would split everything. But instead, it turned into like he was actually doing more in a lot of cases than her because he was splitting everything basically all day and having a full-time job. So, of course, like mathematically, that doesn't work out, right? For one person to work, one person not, and then also them to split everything right down the middle. And a lot of guys got interrupted during their work calls a lot. So the way that women say that kids interrupt their work calls, which, I mean, unless they're real little, you could certainly train them not to do this. This is like that thing where like people say they interrupt them in the bathroom. All you have to do is extinguish that behavior, like literally never respond ever. Because that's what your partner is doing, which is why they don't go to him, right? So kids can learn to leave people alone on work calls if they don't go on extensively. Obviously, they got to eat. They got to, you know, if they're very little, they need supervision. But if they're older, they can stay quite a while, you know, by themselves. Certainly the hour of a work call, right? But or like a 15 minutes of a shower. But anyway, that's the women in these cases, or the preoccupied attachment man. But again, most often I saw this with women because they were the stay-at-home parent without a job more frequently. And they're also more often preoccupied attachment. They would be interrupting the guy during his work calls, like the kids do to the woman. She would do it to the guy. Or like tell him that he had to know exactly his work calls in advance because she's planning all these things in the day around him and now they're eating lunch together and they're going to do this together and do that together, all this stuff that makes it nearly impossible to carry on a job. So this was a super stressful time for a lot of people who were trying to balance a preoccupied attachment partner who was getting increasingly codependent and increasingly unable to do anything themselves and their own boundaries with their job, right? And even to the point of afterwards, a lot of people did not want the partner to go back to work, of course, because they got really used to this. And there were a lot of fights about how the person could stay home. Now, this isn't so that he could necessarily balance all the things that he was balancing. It turned into almost an intolerance of aloneness that went beyond that. You know, almost an inability to be alone. And I'm the first to say that people are not meant to be alone and that extended family used to play a role in allowing people to be happier in their marriage because they didn't have every single need wasn't met by one person, the spouse. So, you know, your mother came over and helped with the kids or your sister did, or, you know, you lived on the same block with your family, your kids could go over there, you know, whatever, whatever. And then you could have friends outside of that and this and that. Now it's all like the partner. And during the pandemic, it most certainly was the partner, only the partner. So people who are more extroverted and more securely attached, they put their in-laws and their parents into their bubble more frequently. Whereas the people who were never really comfortable with and preferred that the family not be around did not put them in the bubble. You know, they wanted only to put themselves in the bubble and they didn't do it maliciously and they thought that they had good reasons and, you know, well, you know about your mom. She likes to go on cruises and we can never count on her to isolate correctly. Right. But what is that really on a subconscious level means I want us only to be alone in our nuclear family. I've really always wanted that. And kind of here's an opportunity that I never expected. And most of this was not even conscious. You know, it was just a break from something that had been very, very stressful, which to preoccupied attachment partners is sharing the partner with somebody else is extremely stressful, whether it's their own family or friends or hobbies or work. So when couples come into counseling after this time, it's really important that they understand the impact of the pandemic isolation on their dynamic, you know, and they don't minimize this change and how it could have made the codependency way, way more severe and almost the person being scared of being alone. And so frequently how we do this is we kind of understand the problem and even speaking it aloud can can be very useful, you know, in making sure, because the avoidant partner kind of knows this. They're like, all this shit went down during COVID and now like she cannot be by herself. This is like nuts. This made her anxiety 1,000 times worse. And I think I had a podcast or a post, maybe it was a post during COVID about how COVID was really amplifying people's anxiety and their judgmentalness. Yeah, that's what it was. Corona judgment, I called it. Now I'm calling it COVID codependence. There's different different things, you know. It really lends itself to alliteration. But the point being, the avoidant partner is usually like, yeah, after the pandemic was really hard for her to get back on track and she was super anxious and now she's really, you know, wants to mostly be home more. And for most people, this is wearing off, the whole wanting to be home more. But the things that started up during the pandemic of having a much shorter leash on the avoidant partner, that perpetuates post-pandemic. So, you know, people who were like together for like extended time alone have less bandwidth for now, allowing the partner to go on trips or go on vacations or, you know, work travel or travel to the office or whatever the case may be. Now, you know, if both people agree on this kind of a reset, wow, we really learned in the pandemic that we didn't need all those activities for the kids and we want to spend more time together versus with our friends, then it's fine, right? I mean, that's great. But if one person was chafing at the bit to get back to doing more things out in the world separately, then it's going to obviously be a problem because they feel that their leash got even shorter and their world has been even more constricted, which is overall the plight of the avoidant partner in the relationship is they feel controlled and they feel the other person's very jealous and wants every single bit of their time. And they don't do that to the person, definitionally, because they're the avoidant partner. And so they find it very unfair that this is done to them. And a good couples counselor can really help with figuring out what the new shape of the post-pandemic couple dynamic is going to be, such that neither person feels deeply, deeply frustrated. So the preoccupied attachment partner doesn't feel like they're constantly being abandoned. And also the preoccupied attachment partner works on their own anxiety. When you've had basically a second pair of hands in the house for like a year and a half or something, and then they go away, it can make you feel like very, very anxious at first. But there's also a real benefit in learning how to run the household again yourself, at least between the hours of 9 and 5, you know, if you are choosing the stay-at-home parent path. Or figuring out that you were always extremely overwhelmed and you need childcare, or maybe you want to go back to work part-time or full-time. You know, there are many, many, many solves, right? But both people have to come to the table and understand what happened in the dynamic and own their own part of it. Because the other thing that avoidant attachment people did, which made this worse, was they were like a bat out of hell, like an uncaged animal as soon as the pandemic ended. They wanted to go on all the boys' trips that they missed out on, and they wanted to go back to work with a vengeance. And they started booking like conferences like every fucking, you know, 4 months in a different exotic location for a week, you know, for their job and whatever. And it was, it's a lot then, you know, it was not a very sensitive reentry for the other person. And so that led to a lot of conflict as well. And also, there were many problems that proliferated in the pandemic, such as addiction to anything, food, gaming, alcohol, porn, all of those things ramped up a lot in the pandemic because people could not get out of the house. They could not, you know, meet their need for dopamine in any other ways. So this is the way that they chose. Not chose, but this is what happened to them, basically. And it's hard to back out of those negative patterns. And also, when you have social anxiety and you don't have to be around people for a long time, that could get even worse, and it does. It's the opposite of exposure therapy. Exposure therapy, so having to go out every day, talk to people at pickup, talk to people at your kids' activities, be alone because your husband's at work, you know, engage at the grocery store, even small things, those can keep somebody who's socially anxious, can keep their anxiety under control because they're constantly engaging in a low level of exposure therapy for it. But when that goes away, the anxiety can spike such that people almost like, it's kind of like how younger people are about being on the phone. you know, like there's all these memes about like, you know, people would rather be like eaten by a lion than like make a phone call. And of course, you know, young people never really liked calling up their bank to ask about, you know, new checks. Like that wasn't like a thing that you wanted to do, but you weren't terrified of it. Even socially anxious people could usually do it. And nowadays, if you're a regular young adult, yeah, maybe you got to psych yourself up because you're used to texting. But if you're a socially anxious young adult, you like literally won't do it. You'll send like a million emails before you would do it, you know? And so if you don't practice, so my analog there is the texting, the, you know, the fact that texting is the primary communication method has allowed people who are socially anxious to never be exposed to in-person or phone conversations, which kind of makes them worse at them. So anyway, I hope you found this interesting. If you feel like the pandemic put your relationship on a different trajectory and that you've always been struggling to get back to what you were before, then it would be an interesting podcast to share. You know, of course, if you're the avoidant partner, it may be taken as a gauntlet thrown down. If you're the preoccupied person, share it with abandon because the avoidant partner will feel validated and feel like you're actually coming to the table and owning your problems. If you're the avoidant partner and you're trying to tell somebody that they're anxious and codependent, it's not going to work too well, but this could be something you bring up in your couples counseling. And all the time, whenever I do my lives, by the way, on Facebook or whatever, people ask me, how do you get your partner to go to couples counseling? I have two podcasts on that. How to convince your partner to go to couples counseling and more ways to convince your partner to go to couples counseling. So in the Spotify app, you could just, you know, there's at the top, there's that search bar. And if you put the word in convince, you're going to see both of those. All right. Well, thank you for listening, guys. And I'll talk to y'all soon. Have a great day.